This is Waddle and Sylvie on WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. Chicago's home for sports. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, did Keith call in to Cap and Hoodie at all? When did he call in and cry last year after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, last
was
that year
a
was
the day after.
It was the day after with Cap and Hoodie, yes.
So is Keith the Bengals fan out there? And has he called in to any of the shows yet? I want to get his thought on that. Because wasn't he complaining about the officials last year, too?
Yes, he was.
And then we sent a listener who did a well-being check, and then that led to conversation with his wife, right?
Yeah. Things got a little different.
No, I think it got different than, like, the next day. After the conversation then. But we need to find Keith. We need to make sure he's okay. There's another heartbreaker after the heartbreaker in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm watching video right now, a replay of Mahomes and the touchdown pass to Valdes-Scantling.
He wasn't milking anything. I can't believe there was somebody on the phone. He had a high ankle sprain a week ago in which he played through.
Yeah.
And as someone was saying today, that has kept guys out 2 to 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And he has continued to play on it. That's a painful injury. Yeah. He's not milking
especially
anything.
It's on his right leg, too, which is your plant leg. So that would be even more difficult to deal with.
Appreciate the greatness.
The touchdown pass to Kelsey on fourth down was brilliant. The touchdown pass to Valdes-Scantling on third down was fabulous as well. He was just, he had an all-time day to me.
And the Valdes-Scantling touchdown, I mentioned to Waddle and Tyler, Sylvie, on Scott Van Pelt, Hasselbeck after the game broke that play in particular down. And while it looks good just watching it normally, Tim Hasselbeck breaking it down, showing you what Mahomes sees, how they're doubling Kelsey on the play, which is his first read where he probably wants to go on 3rd and 10 in the red zone because Kelsey's his guy, as we've already laid out. But then for him to then have a rusher in his lap on the same play, go through his progressions, and still be able to throw it to Valdes-Scantling on the bum ankle, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he has separated himself from the rest of the guys in the league that play that position. There's some really good ones. Best player in the league. And he's doing it. I get it. Kelsey's fabulous. One of the best tight ends of all time. I get it. But he did it this year with a group of wide receivers that were kind of nondescript. So when everyone screams at you, yeah, I know he wouldn't be the same player here in Chicago as he is in Kansas City. He doesn't have Andy Reid. He doesn't have Travis Kelsey. But he makes guys better because he is so damn good.
Did you know, last night we had a conversation via text about T. Higgins. Did you hear Cap's story today about T. Higgins?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it as I was walking the dog.
He supposedly was on the plane with T. Higgins' mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it to or from Kansas City?
I think to Kansas City. Whoever taught him how to high point a football deserves a tip of the cap. How you play the damn game.
Just like Chase Claypool. That's how Chase Claypool does it.
Listen, for all of you wannabe wide receivers, little league, high school, college, whatever it is, put on the video from last night's game and watch T. Higgins go get the football instead of letting it come down to him in the end zone. He goes up and high points the football. That is classic video, teaching video for that position, regardless of the level. That's the difference. Like, if he tries to let the ball come down to him, who knows if the ball may hit one of the Kansas City Chief cornerbacks, the safety, or the play is not made. That was just brilliant. That was textbook. That's how you do it.
T. Higgins is a free agent next year, not this year. And Cap claims that he had a conversation with his mom, who says that obviously that T. wants to get paid, that it's going to get very interesting in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, who also is going to get paid, and to see where the money is going to go. And if they could afford everybody there with Jamar Chase, with Joe Burrow,
their offensive line or continue to work on it.
Yes.
Listen, T. Higgins has had back-to-back years with 1,091 and 1,029 yards, 6 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns. And that's also with another guy on the other side.
Yes. And according to his mom, the way Cap told it is his dad, I think, is from Chicago and would be open to play here. Well, he'll play wherever he gets paid.
Right.
But no, they've got the franchise tag. They're not going to just let him go.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I think the
that would be a trade or like a franchise tag slash trade. When he's too good to just let go for nothing.
I don't know, Mel. You would probably know better. Like Tyler Boyd, I don't know what his contractual status is. He was a second round pick out of Pitt. He's had a really nice run with the Bengals as well. He's older.
I believe he's a free agent after this, or he's going to be a free agent this year.
Yeah, I would think like they're not going to spend money on him. They'll find somebody to take his role, but they're going to keep more than likely Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Burrow. That's a pretty solid, trio.
And Boyd's slated to make $10 million.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Actually, Boyd is under contract for one more year in 2023. So
good player.
Boyd's scheduled to make $10.2 million next year, and then he's a UFA.
That's a guy you thank for his performance, but if you have to move on from someone, you move on from him and make sure that you pay T. Higgins if you're the Bengals.
All right, so this was Friday when you were out, Waddle. The wife's doing well after the knee surgery?
Yeah, she thought she was Superwoman or Wonder Woman after the surgery, so was walking around and doing a lot. And then on Saturday, she went to, physical therapy. I think she did a little too much, so she was hurting Saturday and Sunday. It's been a little bit.
She on crutches or is she okay?
She has crutches. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Here is the mayor of Cincinnati. This was a big thing on Friday.
Not Jerry Springer anymore.
It's a long time ago. What was the Jerry Springer story?
Travis Kelce, by the way, said Cincinnati was better. Yes, he paid for a prostitute with a personal check, or so the story goes. Allegedly. Travis Kelce, I think, even went on to say that, Cincinnati was better when Jerry Springer was the mayor.
Did he end up saying that, too? Because there was lots of talk about
this.
Remember,
he went to University of Cincinnati.
Right, yeah. So here is the mayor, and this was getting a lot of traction on Friday and even more so after the game.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test, confirming whether or not he's his father.
Oh no.
Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pirval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
So then...
Oh, he had to wear that, didn't he?
Yeah, so how... So first, there was... This is the... this is on field. So this is on the field after the Chiefs won it. And this is during Mahomes getting interviewed.
Hey, first off, like I said, I want to thank God, man. He healed my body this week to battle through that. He gave me the strength to be out here. But I just want this team, man. We played together. I said it from the beginning when we were in the locker room. I said, we got to be together. And this team stepped up against a great football team. And we showed this place that it's Arrowhead. It's not Burrowhead out here.
No, it's not Burrowhead anymore. And you saw Travis Kelce. It's going to be the Kelce Bowl against the Eagles. Your early thoughts on heading to Arizona to try and beat the Eagles to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're a great football team. I've watched them all year long. Great quarterback, great entire team, man. It's going to be a great challenge for us. But I'm going to celebrate this one first. So I'm going to make sure I get back with my team. I don't think we have any cigars, but we'll be ready to go at the Super Bowl.
There you go.
I like it. I think that there is a brilliant rivalry brewing with these guys. I don't think it's nasty. I think I actually like some of the smack talk going back and forth.
You made the reference to Burrowhead, and then, of course, the cigars thing with Joe Burrow always having the cigars. Yeah. And then there was Travis Kelce who came into an interview.
Woo! Burrowhead my ass! Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Yeah, I mean, the mayor popping off is one thing. I love that there's a little something brewing with these two teams.
Here's more.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party.
It's such a fun team.
Just went to the Beastie Boys. It's just out of nowhere. That's great.
Isn't that his thing? Doesn't he do that all
is
the
that
time?
What it is?
Yeah, I think
they
so.
Are.
They,
like,
I
they,
think I sort of remember it.
They're a fantastic team. They're fun to watch. They're a likable group. It's going to be a good game. Should be a good game.
But everyone keeps saying, oh, boy, that Cincinnati mayor, he should not have opened up his mouth. Do you think the game would have gone differently if the Cincinnati mayor would not have said anything?
No, no.
Do you think it would have been Bengals 27, Chiefs 20?
No, I don't think.
The game would have been the same thing.
Yeah. I think it was one of the Bengals' defensive players, right, that first called Arrowhead Burrowhead.
I believe it was Mike Hilton.
Mike Hilton.
Yes.
I was looking for a Mike Hilton blitz on Patrick Mahomes the way he blitzed Josh Allen the week before and brought him down in a significant moment, but their defensive coordinator just didn't want to bring any pressure. But that is some, like, I think that's more inspiring inside the four walls of Arrowhead versus what the mayor of Cincinnati's did. But I think this is kind of a nice rivalry building, and I don't think there's like a ton of awful bad blood. I think there's a certain amount of respect, a lot of respect, but you know, to get, if you give it, you got to be willing to get it in response. So love it. Hopefully this is a matchup that will be a premier matchup every year.
The Bengals were certainly in position to take, they could have won that game yesterday, but I certainly feel like they were feeling themselves this past week after, you know, taking down the Bills.
Yeah,
a lot of people thought,
sure.
You know, they felt like they got screwed with the whole Bills situation and having to go to Buffalo. But I think they definitely got over their skis on this.
Well, the one thing that
did they?
I just like how did you really want to wake the Giant though?
But again,
I don't know,
like, did they wake any? Like, did the mayor wake anyone up? Did the Bengals truly wake anyone up? Or did they just in the end get a couple of breaks to go their way?
The Chiefs, you mean?
Yeah, the Chiefs. Yeah, like, listen, I don't think the Bengals woke anyone up.
This came,
I think they were the better team yesterday, not because of anything.
Well, and it comes down to, like, the Chiefs won the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Chris Jones made a mockery out of the Bengals offensive line that was starting three backups.
Listen.
And you flip it around, and I didn't think that the Bengals pass rush put any pressure on Mahomes really at all. And the Chiefs offensive line did an excellent job protecting their quarterback. I don't think that anything that happened yesterday was the direct result of anybody giving anyone else bulletin board material.
I just, you know what? It doesn't help, though. Like, you pointed out, Waddle, to me, Chris Jones had his first two sacks in his career in the playoffs yesterday.
Yes.
And by the way, on Friday, he was pointing out to the media that, you know, oh, we'll be ready at Burrowhead. Like,
yeah,
like that
but,
was like the last thing he said when he walked up the podium on Friday.
This is so not you, Miller.
But what was a bigger issue? Was it the fact that they were calling it Burrowhead, or he was lined up against three backups?
I think, you know what? I think,
and he's a fabulous player.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Speak softly and carry a big stick.
It's one of those things
where, yes, ultimately, I think the Chiefs are a great team. And more times than not, I think they're probably going to beat the Bengals at Arrowhead. But at the same time, I think you made it that much easier for the Chiefs to be laser focused on Sunday.
What was the bigger surprise, that he has no sacks? Or that they were talking a big game. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like that's the anomaly, that he had no playoff sacks.
First 13 games.
He's a great player.
First 13 playoff games.
That he needed that to get a sack?
He had no sacks. Now, again, you can be a force even without registering a sack, and he's been a force.
Yes.
But that's the anomaly there. I think the bigger factor was the Bengals' offensive line was playing three backups. And those guys are not a legit matchup for someone with the skill set and the talent level of Chris Jones. I'm not suggesting to you that, look, at that point, you're playing in the AFC title game. If you need anything to get you more
focused,
you're not a focused player.
You may not be, but you know what? Sometimes great players, it doesn't help the situation for Cincinnati.
That's fine. But this is the same thing to me as something Carmen was talking about. The constant reference to nobody believes in us. For the love of everything good and pure in this world, you were the favorite in the game. You were the number one seed in the AFC. You have the best player in the league right now. You have the best coach, arguably, in the league right now. Like, yeah, I picked against you because I didn't think your quarterback was going to be as agile as he was, and they played a better game. But to lean constantly on, leaning on the nobody gives us a chance, we're the underdog.
I don't think the Chiefs were leaning on nobody gives us a chance. The Chiefs were leaning on the Bengals are cocky. They've beat us three times in a row, and they think they're better than us. We're going to show them. It's a little different than nobody believes in us.
But as you said, again, that game comes down to a 45-yard field goal that's enhanced by a personal foul call. So with 8 seconds to go, Harrison Butker kicks a 45-yard field goal to give the Chiefs a 23-20 win. That very easily could have been Burrowhead.
I want it so badly, and Meller, we were talking about this. This is a very non-Meller conversation. You're usually Mr. Analytics. You're not usually this sort of like meathead bulletin board stuff. Like, I was so looking forward to how did the first overtime of the new overtime.
No, I was too.
I was rooting for overtime so Waddle could rant about how he hates the new overtime. We got to have everyone have a turn.
I was ready to have
participation sports these days.
I was ready to have the overtime conversation. I was ready for the Chiefs and Bengals both to score an overtime touchdown, and then the next team win, and then we have to revisit the whole rules
Does
again.
Does everyone need two turns?
Yes. Do you have to go to do you have to play out the full 15 minutes? I was ready for that.
Would have the Burrowhead bulletin board material been even more important in a second overtime? Would it have made the Chiefs even more focused
it wasn't the deciding factor, but I think you gave, I don't know, like, I don't want my team to be overly cocky. Win the game, and then you get to be, you get to go out and your play did the speaking for you. And then the aftermath, that's when you say, ha.
Yes, that's when it hurts more is just when they throw it at you at the end, maybe. But I don't think it swayed any side.
I'm not saying.
Maybe it swayed the officials, because those damn officials sure called that game one-sided.
I don't think it determined the game by any means, but I just think if you're the Bengals, like, you should learn from it. You were like on the reverse end of it the previous week, right? And then all of a sudden, I don't know, it's weird. You won a divisional round game when you were in the Super Bowl the previous year, and you were acting like you were the Super Bowl champs this week.
But I get it, but
isn't
but
that the way they roll? Isn't that how Burrow rolls?
First of all, that's their DNA. Second of all, the greatest impact on that game, A, was Patrick Mahomes playing brilliant football because he's the best player in the league. The other was, the Bengals couldn't protect their quarterback because they were playing three backups against an above average, not even above, an all-pro caliber player in Chris Jones. Like,
all great points. Maybe that's why their players should have considered that before they started spouting off their mouths.
No, all this it does week, is it sets you up for if you go out there and you can't back it up, you get exactly what the Chiefs threw back in your face there.
And I think the Bengals are living with that.
And like, it's going to hurt
with it.
Well, yeah. Eli Apple's a little silent now.
He's going to talk no matter what. His mom, I guess, didn't she deactivate her Twitter
account?
She deleted
her Twitter, yeah.
She's just like, I'm taking my Twitter and I'm going home.
Listen, last year what happened? The Bengals got the best of them. This year what happened? The Chiefs got the best of them. Yeah. This is a fantastic rivalry building, and I like the smack talk.
Me
because
too.
I don't think it's gone over the top, but I think it's enhanced the rivalry.
I think it's a rivalry one day.
Yeah.
It's the best rivalry we've got going in sports right now.
I know. This is what I want with Bears Packers. I don't want a one-sided rivalry. I want to participate in the rivalry. I don't want to be owned. I want a rivalry. Michael on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
Oh, you know what, guys? This is what I think. I know there's a lot of star power between, in Kansas City, right? Pretty star power, right?
Yeah.
Mahomes, the best player in the NFL. But you got Kelce versus Kelce going over here, right?
Yeah.
And you got And you know they want Mahomes in there. I just think Cincinnati got holes.
They did.
It was all about getting make sure Mahomes was in that Super Bowl.
I can't imagine like that anything was like a preconceived thing for Kansas City, but the officiating was just bad, and that's the way it worked out.
I think you could make the argument that the NFL benefits more if the Bengals are in it again, because now the idea of Burrow Mahomes as a true rivalry grows that much more if Burrow's in another Super Bowl. Whereas we all know Mahomes is great. We don't need him being in the Super Bowl to know he's great.
I think they got their best matchup, though. But I don't think it's rigged. Like
I don't either. I just think they're incompetent.
Yes.
I think there's too high a level of incompetence in an area of the game that can be improved. You just have to take the initiative. There are plenty of ways to fix some of this stuff. Just don't be rigid and just behind the times.
Right.
Let the technology lead you in the directions, or stop taking the gambling money. Stop taking all the other stuff.
Sean Payton would be great. I hope Yurko can get him on. Because Sean Payton was... Didn't Sean Payton lose... You mentioned the pass interference thing.
Yeah.
And didn't they lose another playoff game? Not only because of pass interference, because something else happened to them. But... And like
They lost a game, didn't they, the year before to the Vikings? On an end zone catch where their tight end, Rudolph, there was an argument whether or not he pushed off or not. Right, I believe there was something like that.
Two times. So in a league where we spent years arguing what a catch is and what's not a catch, and then to have what the Saints have gone through with pass interference, not pass interference. Now we're stuck on what is roughing, what's not roughing. And then we see all these bad calls in the postseason. It's not rigged. It's incompetence, like you said. Yeah. This league has got to do something about officiating.
I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs won because the officials did something so egregious it tipped the scales in their direction. I don't believe that. I just believe the overall performance of the officials yesterday in the first game and the second game was not up to par. It's not up to the level.
I think it benefited the Bengals. I mean, the Chiefs. I think the Bengals got hosed. Here's
a little bit, but I don't know that the outcome of the game was, because they made the stop anyway on the 6th and 9.
6th and 9. Derek and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Derek?
So, hey, guys. I'm a diehard Chiefs fan, and I'm sick of hearing it all day on social media, at work today, that the Bengals got hosed. Burrow threw 2 interceptions. The D-line, I think, sacked him 5 times. I think he's 0 and whatever when he gets sacked 5 times or more. They sucked. Chiefs capitalized. That last play was clearly roughing the passer. That guy's a moron. He deserves a cry. I am sick of it, and you guys need to respect the future champs, man.
Oh, now you're talking a little smack now. Now what happens if that comes down and bites you in the ass?
Well, I don't think it's going to. I think Andy Reid, and he's destined to get one against the Eagles. I really do.
Don't make us come out there to commit all field right, and take right. over
I'll
the Chiefs
back.
Next
I'll
year.
Call back the Chiefs.
Cole Kmet field.
I don't know if Cole Kmet's. I don't know if Cole Kmet's grammar school field would be called Cole Kmet field.
Kmet head.
Oh, man, it's just...
What's it called, by the way?
What's that? It's not Arrowhead anymore.
No, it's Arrowhead Stadium.
G-E-H-A.
Field, right? Yeah,
Arrowhead Stadium at G-E-H Field or whatever.
Sort of like it would be Soldier Field or whatever. Wouldn't it be like... They always talked about having a naming, right?
Yes. So, what is that?
I don't know.
What is G-E-H... What is it? What is it?
G-E-H-A.
What is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. It is a comic book store.
Wasn't that like an old restaurant back in the city in the day?
It's an insurance company.
That was with a J,
like.
I think. An insurance company?
Insurance company. Okay. All right. Waddle's World is coming up. 312-332-3776.
Let's talk some smack inside Waddle's World.
Yeah, we will. And we'll do so the rest of the show. Jason Wilde's going to join us at 4:05. Could this finally be it? Is the Aaron Rodgers is a trade coming? There's been a lot of smoke this offseason, and Wildy's very connected with Rodgers. He's going to join us at 4:05, but some fun inside Waddle's World next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Did you do any shoveling of snow this weekend? See, I've got it down to an art where it's not shovel, pick the snow up, and throw the snow. It's just pushing.
Can't do it.
Just pushing.
Can't do it.
You just pushing.
I told you.
It's actually a good workout.
I made a deal with my younger self. That will be something that I will never do again. I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry.
I shouldn't apologize. It's just, I did it growing up. It was part of my chores growing up. I raked leaves, I mowed the lawn, I shoveled the snow. And I said, when I got older and I made money, I said the first thing to go was, I will not shovel snow again.
I think, by the way, I think Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. I think we scarred ourselves, all of us, by shoveling in the wrong technical fashion as kids.
You think so?
I do. Because there's an art to shoveling. It's not pick up a huge, heavy shovel full of snow and throw it.
You're the Picasso of shoveling?
It's push. It's push. You're plowing
the snow?
Yes. You're not picking it up and throwing it.
I did that too. Yeah.
He's the salt and pepper of shoveling.
Salt and pepper here? I'm just saying.
Push it.
You gotta push it. You gotta push it. You don't pick it up.
Real good.
You push it. The full quotient just went way high. The three of us. I'm just telling you, I didn't know. I didn't know if you did any of that stuff this past weekend.
Just gave me a good gift now I could put. I'm putting a snow shovel gift for Waddle's World.
Oh, fantastic. That's good. Did you enjoy the broadcast? Did Tony Romo say anything that made you football smarter?
No, absolutely not.
You know I don't pay much attention.
Did you notice, too, guys, he tried to pull a Greg Olsen explaining the forward progress rule on the out-of-bounds play?
I did notice as well, although I still haven't retained the full name of the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, he went out of his way to mention his name on several occasions this time.
Lou Anarumo.
Yeah. Because I don't think he knew who his name was.
The previous week? They're like, hey, Tony, you better figure this out.
So you think he was flexing?
The one curious comment I heard from Tony was earlier in the year, he says that when these two teams met, that Spags, the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, kept some of his strategic stuff in his pockets, knowing that these two teams would meet again in the postseason. Get out of here.
Got it right here in my back pocket.
Get out of here. You're trying to win all of these games so that you can have the number one overall seed. Your game plan will change offensively, defensively, special teams over the course of time as your team changes and your opponent changes. If you're holding the good stuff back in anticipation that you're going to face that team, well, maybe you should have used the good stuff because you lost to them in the first game of the season. First time you met. I don't buy it.
I'll give Romo this. Nobody loves himself an 80s or 90s NBA comp to an NFL player like Tony Romo. He referenced Jordan versus Drexler in this Mahomes-Burrow showdown. He also called Patrick Mahomes the Magic Johnson of football.
Well, remember, too, back in when the Bills played the Chiefs, he called Josh Allen Jordan.
Right.
And this was like Jordan's moment. And look where we are.
Against the Pistons. He referenced the Pistons, the bad boy Pistons.
That's right. And he said that Josh Allen got over the hump. In a regular season game.
Maybe they should put him on NBA broadcasts.
It couldn't do worse. The best thing I read about Tony Romo all weekend, and I wish I could give proper accreditation because I forgot who wrote it. If it was a tweet or an article. They said that Tony Romo his broadcast career is mirroring his NFL career. Where when he first came on the scene as an undrafted guy, you know, everyone's like, wow, look at this undrafted guy playing for the Cowboys. He's pretty good. And then the longer his career lasted, everyone's like, ooh, Tony Romo can't win the big game. It's very similar.
I think he's more like David Blaine. He's tricked everybody.
Where did David Blaine go?
Like that's what he's fooled
that's
everybody.
A good magician.
He came out with
himself disappear.
Yeah,
he
it's came a good
out
magician.
With he came out with enthusiasm, and Danny referenced it in our meeting. He bamboozled everybody by predicting plays, but that was when he was 1 year out of football, and so he knew all of the defenses that he was going up against because he was still. He had just studied them the previous year.
I think great. Again, I think there are a lot of good broadcasters. I like Joe and Troy. I think they're fantastic. I think you know how I feel about Greg Olson.
You want to do a broadcaster's draft tomorrow? No.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
if you want to, I'll do it. But I'm like not really. I will say this: I love what Greg Olson's doing.
I'll do a draft with you, Sylvie, if you want to.
NFL draft with all the broadcasters.
I like that.
Joe Davis and Moose Johnston on the board.
You got to get a play by play.
How do we like? Do we are
play by play? You got to get a play by play guy. You got to get an analyst.
What are we going to do when we draft our teams?
I got to get a sideline reporter.
They have to compete
against each other. We need them to play a three on three.
What are we
going to
do? I mean, after we draft them, what are we going to do? Nothing?
No, your best. Like, I don't even think you need to have you could have three play-by-play guys.
Just rank them. How about that? Instead of drafting them, we'll just rank them. Anyway, my point was, as good as I think Greg Olson is, at one point yesterday, I think late in the third quarter, he did say, Jalen Hurts is having a great game today.
I did not think
Jalen Hurts had a great game.
He did not have a good game.
I thought their defense had a great day. I thought they did a fantastic job running the football. I think Meller made a really good point early on in our text chain that what the San Francisco 49ers were doing was that they had a controlled pass rush that kept him kind of locked in the pocket and was forcing him to play the game from the pocket, and he wasn't very good from there.
Meller, you were quite engaged in the text chain yesterday. That hasn't happened
family
in quite a while.
Family must have been out of town.
Engaged on Twitter, too. You were all over the place yesterday.
Was your family on ski patrol?
Michelle took Alex to ski practice in the morning, and then I dropped Peyton off for her theater rehearsal group, which is 4 hours long. So, yeah, I had the house all to myself.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was all fun. All good times. The first game sucked, but I still enjoyed it. It's better than no game at all. There is some football news. As soon as the Dallas Cowboys announced that they had fired offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, it seemed like just a few moments later, the Los Angeles Chargers announced that they've hired Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator. So we'll see what happens there. I do believe that Justin Herbert also had a little cleanup surgery on his left shoulder. Had a little labrum situation that he had to have cleaned up. So that's there. There have to be some coach hirings coming up soon, aren't there? I mean, I would think that.
Did you see J.J. Watt tweeted out the picture of him and D'Amico Ryans in a Texans uniform?
I did not. Did not.
I think there's been some reports that Ryans is the favorite to get that job.
By the way, the Eagles are the Super Bowl betting favorites as of right now. They're a 2-point favorite. Didn't you tell me, Tyler, that initially it was the Chiefs were a 2-point favorite and the numbers?
The numbers swung like within half an hour. It was already on the other side.
From Chiefs minus two
to Eagles minus like 1.5, and then it got up as high as 2.5. I saw, and now it's settled in at 2. I think.
Who are you rooting for?
I mean, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Is it all about your bet?
Yeah, I'd be rooting for my green, for sure. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like great players. And there are a ton of great players in this game on both sides. But none better than Patrick Mahomes in the National Football League. Is there anyone in the league, regardless of position, that is as good as he is?
Good and likable.
I heard Carm say maybe Aaron Donald if he's healthy. Okay, maybe. But no, I'm always going to value the quarterback more than I'm going to value the defensive lineman.
One of my buddies, who I went out to breakfast with yesterday, texted me after breakfast watching the game And he sent me a text. He goes, I'm not that big of a Patrick Mahomes guy, but blah, blah, blah. And I haven't really heard that from many people. Do you know what I mean?
I find him to be not only a fantastic player, but a very likable player.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he's the face of the NFL.
How many people do you really hear that from saying, I'm not that big of a Patrick Mahomes fan? Most people tend to like Patrick Mahomes.
I'm with you. There is no...
Does your buddy also hate ice cream and puppy dogs?
That's what I mean. Like,
I can see someone saying, I don't like Aaron Rodgers. Or anyone saying, I don't like Tom Brady.
Like, I find... To play the Tony Romo role, I find he's this, like, Steph. He's the Steph Curry of the NFL, where, like, I pretty
best
much...
player and likable.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not... I can't argue with that. I'll co-sign that. The NFL has told teams that the salary cap for the upcoming season will be $224 million. Dollars, almost $225 million.
Did you hear about have you heard the recent news from Friday?
No.
The Bears have lost lost cap room, according to estimates. We don't know. We're going to have when Spielberger coming
they
on
have
with
the
us.
Most, tomorrow it says right here, $91 million.
Yeah,
the,
tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Brad Spielberger will be with us.
Okay. To explain, do you remember the estimate originally, Waddle, was $110 to $115 million? Is what they had.
I also was under the impression that they had to spend money too to hit a floor. So now all of that.
So it seems went from to be 110 to 115 to how much did you just say?
It is
92.
91. It says 91.
91.
Here. 91.
Yeah, for the Bears.
While the Saints have the least as they are projected to be over the cap by more than $58 million.
That's a big difference.
Now the Bears still have the most by a significant margin. Yeah. So that's still the good news.
Where did it go?
That we don't know. That is why Brad Spielberger is coming on tomorrow to explain to us.
The league just took it away.
Those damn referees.
They're spending it on referees.
Ron Torber took it away. Is that his name? Torber?
I don't know. And we'll talk with Jason Wilde coming up, too. The Aaron Rodgers thing seems to be coming to a crossroads, as they say. Shefty's been all over this. I want him gone. I know you want him to stay. I want him gone, so I hope they trade him.
I do like the chaos.
We have a ton of our own. All right, when we come back, I got some stuff for you, including a story about Fireball whiskey. Details to come.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
All right, you want some nonsense? You here for the nonsense?
Always here for the nonsense.
Fully clothed bathing burglar found in a Seattle bathroom.
Fully clothed bathing burglar?
Man suspected of breaking into his Seattle home has refused to come clean about his intentions, even though police found him fully clothed in a bathtub filled with water. A woman returned to her home Friday night to find a window smashed and an unknown man inside the house, according to the Seattle Police Department. She remained outside the home and called police, which is a very smart thing for her to do. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Upon their arrival, officers instructed anyone inside to come out. When they got no reply, they went to search the home and found a suspect in a bathroom. The man was clothed but very wet, and the bathtub was full of water.
I guess it's better than, like, a guy breaking in and being completely naked in your bathtub.
Why would you break into a house, run a bath, and get in fully clothed?
Because you're crazy?
Maybe you're also under the influence of something. And if you're looking for dope, your drugs, your hookup, I may be able to put you in touch with someone.
I'm not, but go ahead.
Beaver, West Virginia.
Okay.
Did you know there was a town in West Virginia named Beaver, West Virginia?
I think there's a beaver in every state in the land.
I think that's a fair statement. This one's going to be tough. Police.
Like, you know the first radio station, Good Karma Brands, ever.
Beaver, well, it's Beaver Dam. It's not
Beaver Dam.
Beaver, Wisconsin.
Right.
So are you expanding to having the word beaver in the name, but also.
Right, I mean, just like it's Beaver. It's Beaver, West Virginia. I'm not talking about Beaver Creek, Beaver Dam.
Beaverton.
Beaverton.
None of that.
Beaver Tail. beaver whatever.
Did you know there's a beaver in Beaver Township, Michigan?
Did not know that.
So.
Anyway, the story's going to get even sillier. Silly's not the good word. It's going to get worse. How about that?
Well, let's hear it.
Police discovered
Does Beaverville, Illinois count?
I think Beaverville is closer to Beaver, West Virginia than like Beaverton.
Looks like there's 8 states that have a city called named Beaver in it.
We have a Beaverville.
Where's it at?
In Iroquois County.
Is that down by Southern?
I'm not sure.
Isn't that what you guys called Southern Illinois?
It was definitely not Beaverville for me. It was called non-Beaverville for Mark Silverman.
As long as you stayed out of Johnsonville.
No, you redeemed yourself after that really dumb take about how the Cincinnati Bengals really put
motivated.
It on the teal.
They were motivated by the mayor.
Kansas City Chiefs.
The mayor.
You're back, brother. The real Jeff Maurer has come back into that studio.
Jeffrey has left the building. Yes. Jeff has entered.
Yes. All right, can I get to this story? Like I said, it's not good. It's not good.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Police discovered 2 metal cans inside a man's rectum that contain drugs.
2? Not 1 would be a lot.
Again, we go to Beaver, West Virginia. A man is facing charges after bringing and hiding 2 metal cans of drugs inside his rectum into Southern Regional Jail. Last Thursday, around 12:30 p.m., state police were contacted about drugs being brought into the jail. The correctional officer told troopers that Mercer County Sheriff's deputies dropped John Sparks off for charges. During an exam, an X-ray machine showed that Sparks had something in his backside.
Yeah, not just something.
Sparks went to the bathroom and removed a silver metal canister from his backside, and inside contained a crystal-like substance. When Sparks was x-rayed again, it showed something else. Sparks was returned to the bathroom, and a second canister was removed containing white and brown powder.
It's like the clown car, where there's the clowns keep coming out.
One substance was meth, the other was heroin.
Wow, double dip.
He was charged with 2 counts of contraband in a correctional facility. Now, Carm thinks he has an elasticity problem, right? After his colonoscopy? Yeah. I think good old John Sparks has got a different issue.
By the way, I'm caught up on Mayor of Kingstown.
Oh, I didn't see last night's episode. Oh,
I'm 2 in. Yeah.
Good.
I'm 2 episodes
They're
in.
Dark.
Oh, it's so good.
So is Your Honor. Your Honor's dark, but really good, too.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm an episode in on that.
Okay.
I did renew my Showtime.
You had to go
the only one I canceled was Showtime.
Well, all you got to do is watch Your Honor till it's over, then cancel
That's what I'm going to do, probably.
That's what people are doing. And finally, a teen falls asleep playing hide-and-seek in Bangladesh and wakes up in Malaysia. Just a public service.
That's a good hiding, though. I mean, like, no one found him, did they?
Mellor, I'm going to refer to you. You're our distance expert.
He won the game.
I don't know if he did or not. Yeah, you're right. I mean, depends if he was hiding or seeking. If he was seeking, he did not win. A teenager playing hide-and-seek in Bangladesh accidentally traveled to Malaysia after falling asleep, then getting locked inside a container during the game. The boy traveled over 3,000 kilometers.
He was
over a 6-day span without food and water.
Did he like go in a boxcar or something like that? On a train?
Mellor, how far is 3,000 kilometers?
1,700 miles?
Yeah, I think that's actually
Holy, 1,700 miles. Isn't that like from Chicago to California? Isn't
Not
that?
Quite, no.
How far is that? How far is it from here to California?
Like to Miami is what, like 1,300 miles?
Isn't it a longer drive to Cali?
Yeah, much longer.
All right, that's all I got for you.
All right,
let's sort out some of the nonsense north.
Yeah, and also, I want to mention Chicago sports lost an icon today.
Yes.
We'll get to that next. And then could Green Bay lose one of the all-time greats this offseason? We'll get to both of those stories coming up next.